Good afternoon, FFA members and guests. Over the past year, you have had the opportunity to get to know our brother Brian for his kindness, sense of humor, and passion for the FFA. Now we would like to take the opportunity for you to get to know our brother Brian. Brian didn't start speaking until he was almost 5 years old. Can you imagine that? Brian not talking?
Growing up, Brian always wore cowboy boots, whether it was with shorts or his birthday suit, boots were required.
Some kids have a pillow or a stuffed animal, not Brian. Brian only cared about what was on the inside of those pillows, affectionately known as Dub Dub.
It's what's on Brian's inside, or his Dub Dub, that makes him the inspirational person that we all know and love. Brian's attentiveness to our inside is what helps us all go out and reach our potential.
FFA members, we are proud to introduce our brother Barry and your 2013-2014 National FFA President, Mr. Brian Walsh.
This is the story of your life. You decide how the rest is gonna be. This is your chance between the lines to redefine what kind of legacy you leave. This is the story of your life, and it's a story worth telling.
We get to see some pretty sick, nasty things from these seats. Like, what about our first session keynote speaker, Mr. Nick Vujicic? Or maybe it's hearing the sounds of our National FFA band and chorus. Maybe, yeah. And for many of us, we may get the most thrill from seeing our friends cross that stage to receive some pretty cool awards. We all know the feeling that comes with being in this arena. But for me, as an FFA member, there was always another feeling that came with sitting in these seats. You see, I can still remember the state officers, the national officers, the motivational speakers, and all those other people that inspired us to change lives and chase our dreams and do crazy things in this world. These people were incredibly, incredibly motivating. And they're still role models for me today. But I always noticed one thing about most of these people. I always felt like they had a story. Now, I'm not talking about the kiss the girl on the playground or pick your nose at the dinner table type stories that made us laugh, but I'm talking about those stories, those big events, those life-changing, life-defining moments of someone's life, those stories of failure, of tragedy, of overcoming huge obstacles, stories that I thought ultimately made them successful. Now, these people, as I said, were incredible role models, and I still look up to them today, but I often left asking myself, how can I stack up to that? I mean, my life's not perfect. Surely I had lost my grandparents. My parents are divorced, and I even dropped out of preschool, but I felt like in order to be a state officer, to stand on that stage, to be successful or famous, or to truly inspire someone, you had to have a story. And I didn't. I felt like I was living in the shadows of these extraordinary people, seeking some license that they had, but having no idea how to create what they had. But you see, my friends, it wasn't about creating what they had. It was about creating what I could have. My story. I've come to realize that my story is not that of some dramatic, crazy moment in my past, but that's okay, because success is not defined by some moment or crazy experience in our past. Now, I love skiing. Anyone else like skiing? I absolutely love skiing. My first skiing trip, though, was a complete disaster. You know, we always do really dumb stuff when we're kids, right? And this trip was no different. So my family went on a weekend vacation to Snowshoe Mountain, and we woke up early Saturday morning and set right out to tearing up the slopes, right? My oldest cousin, Ryan, and I were like the cool cats of our family, you know, like we're too cool for everybody else and stuff. So we were the oldest guys, thought we were the best skiers. So we set out to show off our skills on the bunny slopes. What up, ladies? Check it out. We quickly got tired of the bunny slopes, though, and began to gradually make our way up the ladder of difficulty until finally we saw something that we could not unsee. It was the trick slope. There's these guys like racing down this slope going like hundreds of miles per hour and decked out logo gear. It was amazing. They were doing backflips and barrel rolls off of jumps, grinding on rails. We were inspired. Ryan and I stood there frozen in amazement for a few moments until finally we looked at each other and we're like, do it! It's kind of like when your kindergarten best friend like dares you to wink at that cute girl across the hall, or better yet, double dog dares you to do it. Like, you can't not do it at that moment. So we made our way up the ski slope, scared as all get out. The deal was that we would both take one jump. Simple enough, huh? What could go wrong? Got to the top of the mountain, though. The first thing I see, though, is this giant sign. And in big, black, bold letters, it reads, Black Diamond Course. And underneath of it, in bigger, blacker, bolder letters, it reads, Experts Only. I started to get a little scared, so I asked Ryan if this was the best idea. I mean, we were literally two kids standing at the top of a mountain made for experienced experts, had never gone skiing before, we were in cheap snowsuits, and we're literally asking for a death wish. But then I had a realization. I realized that I could not allow myself to be that person that rides the ski lift backwards, making it super awkward for everybody on the other side, right? You know what I'm saying? So I had to stay. I was stuck, right? Ryan and I did rock, paper, scissors to see who would go first, and naturally, I lost. So I got up to the edge of the mountain, looked down at what I was sure was going to be my death, took a deep breath in, breathed out, said a little prayer, and I slowly began to push myself off the mountain. As I began going down this mountain, I began picking up speed faster and faster. My heart was beating harder and harder, and at some point, I swear I was going like thousands of miles per hour down this hill. And as I came up on this 30-foot jump that I was planning on taking, I got right to the edge. And I totally checked it out. Veered off to the side. I got down to the end of the mountain just in time to see Ryan begin his initial descent. Just like me, you could see him standing at the top of the mountain looking down. He was a little scared. He took a deep breath in. You could almost like see it, right? And then he too, just like me, began to push himself off the side of the mountain. Slowly began picking up speed faster and faster. He was racing like a wild man about halfway down. And he came up on the jump that I was planning on taking. And as he went flying into the air, at first, like, I thought he was trying to do some, like, sort of double backflip with a twist or something. And I was like, what? This is amazing! Then I realized that Ryan was not trying to do anything at all. In fact, he had completely lost control, did half of a backflip, and literally, I kid you not, landed on his head. His skis came flying off of his feet, went racing down the mountain without him. I was terrified, about to run get my mom to get some help, call the ambulance, whatever. Until finally, I saw Ryan stand up, pumping both fists in the air, screaming something into the wind. And I was like, this guy is a nut. Like, you need to get off this mountain. Like, you're going to kill someone. Ryan literally walked down to the end of the mountain, though. And when he got to the bottom, the first thing he said was, dude, that was awesome. Let's try it again. I laughed. But you see, Ryan went off that slope, that jump, many more times throughout the day, and eventually he mastered it. You know, when I look back, I have to laugh at our stupidity. I have to laugh at us attempting something that, in my mind, is pretty crazy. But in all honesty, I kind of regret not taking that jump. You see, that sign that stood up at the top of the mountain was this barrier to me going down. That sign made me believe that in order to go down that slope, you had to have some experience. You had to be an expert. And I definitely wasn't. Now, hear me out. I'm definitely not telling you to go out and take a 30-foot ski jump. That would be pure stupidity. But what I am saying is that we have all faced a similar sign in our life. Whether that was like for me sitting in these seats feeling like our story is unimportant in the grand scheme of life. Maybe that's living in the shadows of an older sibling's accomplishments or a teammate's incredible talent. Maybe that's simply feeling unworthy because of our story and our experiences comparative to others. Now, Ryan knew he didn't have to have some experience or story to go down that slope that day, to take that jump, and I think it proves a pretty valuable point, that success is not defined by some moment in our past, but rather by our willingness and our ability to live out and create a story for ourselves now. Our story. Think about the people that we think of that have those crazy stories, right? Michael Jordan being cut from his basketball team. Walt Disney being told he wasn't creative enough. Steve Jobs being fired from the very company that he started. What we don't realize sometimes is that none of these people were defined or were successful because of that experience, but rather because of what they did with it. So how ridiculous is it that we would sit around almost subconsciously seeking, almost subconsciously waiting for some moment to teach us that we should get up and get going with our lives? How ridiculous is it that we would almost sit idly with a life that others would do anything for? The same way that I asked myself why I needed some experience to take that jump, why do we need some experience to take action? Why do we need some life-changing, defining moment to get out and start inspiring, motivating, and challenging the world around us every single day? I mean, just ask ourselves, why does it take failing a test to teach us that we should study harder for the next one? Why does it take getting cut from a sports team to give us motivation to work harder next time? Why does it take losing someone in our lives for us to value the life that we have been given? What if we started ignoring all those signs telling us we need some story or experience, just as Ryan did on the ski slopes that day? What if we used the people that stood on this stage and their stories not to compare ourselves, but rather as fuel to create and implement our own story? What if we used this stage as a symbol of everything that we could do in that career development event or proficiency area instead of comparing ourselves to the people that stand on the stage? What if we started using other people's stories not to compare ourselves, but to fuel us in the creation of our own story? That's when we succeed, because my friends, success isn't necessarily defined by some moment in our past. You know, we spend so much time comparing ourselves, making excuses as to why we can't be like the people on this stage, the people that have it all, that person that has that powerful story, that we miss out on defining and living out the incredible person that we were made to be. This past April, I got to hang out in the beautiful state of South Dakota. That's what I'm talking about. You betcha. And on the last day of their convention, you know, I was saying goodbye to some FFA members, just chatting up, chilling and stuff. And this girl came up to me. I'd never seen her before. She comes up to me and she says, "Brad, I am quitting FFA. I was like, "Girl, you are tripping, girl. What's up?" I was super confused. Like, why is she telling me this, and what led her that to that conclusion? So I asked her, I said, First off, what's your name? Second off, what's up? She started to get a little more serious, and she proceeded to tell me that for the longest time, she felt like she was living in the shadows of her older sister's accomplishments. She felt like she was living in the shadows of her older sister's story. She felt like her story would never match up to her sister. She'd never be as smart, as funny, as talented, as gifted, have as much, achieve as much as her sisters did. She was tired of feeling left in their shadows and feeling like her efforts would never be noticed. I didn't know what to say, so I was trying to come up with something. The only thing that was coming to mind was a super simple question. So I asked her, I said, "Martina, what do you have that your sisters don't have?" She thought for a second. And she started smiling. And she started spewing all these things out. She said, "Confidence, willpower, emotional strength, a personality." She was excited because in all reality, she just defined what makes her different right there. In all reality, she just defines a big, big piece of her story. Martina knows that whether or not she accomplishes as much as her sisters do is irrelevant. The fact that she knows her story, and more importantly, the fact that she knows what that story is what matters. Martina knows that story is a story of crazy amounts of humor, a killer personality, emotional strength, willpower, and so much courage. And just ask her. That realization has kept her in FFA. That realization has brought her to this convention. That realization has proved to her that she doesn't have to be someone she's not. That she has a place here. She has a story, and her story is powerful. Just like Martina, though, we've all lived in the shadows of someone else, feeling like our experiences can't necessarily match up to theirs. Whether that's that teammate that got elected to office over us, that guy or gal that starts over us on the football or the softball team, whether that's simply just a friend that seems to get all the attention because of their story. We all know that feeling. You see, Martina realized that in all reality, what she was doing was comparing herself to her sisters in a very, very unfair comparison. She now realizes that for so long she was just making excuses as to why she couldn't be like them, that she failed to realize and define her for what truly makes her. And she realized that if she lives out her the way she was meant to be lived out, people will see that and people will love it. That realization is huge. What is our story? What is our story? What makes us different? What are those experiences that we have? What is that story that we have that no one else has? You know, through Martina's realization, I've come to realize and appreciate the power of my story. For so long, I was sitting in these seats feeling like my story was unimportant in the grand scheme of life, that I too failed to realize the impact that my story could have. My story, it's nothing extraordinary. It's not going to make you laugh, and it's definitely not going to make you cry. At the heart of it, it's pretty simple. Yes, my story does include me losing my grandparents. Yes, my story does include my parents being divorced. And yes, my story even includes me dropping out of preschool. But at the heart of my story is probably the simplest guy you'll ever meet in your life. A guy that's three favorite things are getting haircuts, sneezing, and stargazing. A guy that has two massive ears and loves listening with them. A guy that has been blessed with an incredible family, some cool opportunities, and more than 610,000 friends to share a story with. Looking back, it's kind of sad that it took me so long to realize it, but I too was living in the shadows of the people that stood on the stage, of my role models, of my heroes that I failed to define me for what truly makes me. I realized that for so long I was making so many unfair comparisons, so many unfair excuses as to why I couldn't be like the person on the stage, as to why I couldn't be like that person that got the start, as to why I couldn't be like whoever, that I missed out on the life that I was meant to live. Our friends, whatever ridiculous excuses, comparisons we tell ourselves every day, those are ridiculous. There's no place for those excuses. Because my friends, we have a story. A story that is powerful beyond belief, a story that matters, and a story that should be shared every single day on this earth. Maybe that story does involve some tragic events in our past, some hard lessons that we've had to learn, or maybe it doesn't. Regardless, though, when we realize that those excuses and those comparisons are only a way to make us feel better about not living the life we were meant to live, then can we live out our story? Those stories in this arena today are powerful. The stories of every single one of you sitting here today matter. In fact, just ask my friend Katie. Katie is kind of that friend that like always secretly, awkwardly knows exactly what I'm thinking. Anyone have that friend? Maybe, maybe not, probably not, okay. So Kitty's that person that like I can always turn to for like some great advice or an honest opinion, or she can tell me that I look totally ratchet or whatever. Like she can just tell me how it is, and it's great because it's that sort of friendship, right? We joke all the time, and I can probably count the number of really serious conversations we've had on one hand. A series of which, though, I distinctly remember. It was super early one morning, and I got a phone call from her, and like I'm not a morning person, so like I wake up all groggy and stuff, and I'm like, "What up, punk?" And from the other end of the line, we got something that wasn't exactly normal. In fact, before she could even get out two words, she just started sobbing, and I was super confused. I had no idea what was going on, so I asked her, "Kitty, what's up? What's going on? Talk to me, girl." She paused for a very long moment, trying to break through the tears. She's finally able to say, "I'm driving to Pennsylvania." Oh, okay. I was saying to myself, like, I personally love Pennsylvania. I don't know why. That's what I'm talking about. I personally love Pennsylvania. I don't know why that would make someone cry. So I said, "Okay, well, like, what? I don't understand. Talk to me." There's another brief moment of silence before she was finally able to muster up the ability to say, "My cousin Megan was killed in a car accident last night." The conversation suddenly shifted gears as I realized that Katie was turning to me to give her some sort of peace, to help her out, to help fix this problem of this tragedy in her life. I started searching for the words, the Bible verse, the quote, the something, the story, the experience, something that I could give to her to make it all better, but I had nothing. I felt like in that moment, Katie needed some story to relate to her. She needed some story to help fix everything, and I had nothing. A couple weeks later, I got a phone call from her telling me that her brother had been hospitalized. Later that summer, her dog had to be put down. I felt like it was one thing after another, and every time we would talk, I would search for the words, the quotes, the stories, the experiences, something to make it all better. But I had nothing. I didn't have the motivational story, the inspiring experience that was going to make it better for Katie. I felt like I was failing a great friend. At times, I was literally making up quotes, trying to sound all philosophical in the hopes that something would happen, but I had nothing. It was until a conversation a couple weeks later that all changed. You see, we were talking, and finally Katie had had enough, and she just cut me off. She said, "Brian, stop, please." She said, "I've turned to you these last couple weeks because I needed your friendship. I needed you and that goofy, weird personality that I've always known." Her words hit me like a freight train, man. I realized that all Katie needed was me and my story, not some fake one. I realized in that moment that she was leaning on me for me and my big ears. My story, my experiences, the words I did have, the stories I did have, the experiences I did have. Otherwise, she probably wouldn't have turned to me. Now, I realized that the people that make the biggest impact in this world are not necessarily the people that have the most crazy, dramatic story, but are the people that understand and appreciate the power of the story they do have and use it. I often ask myself, what would have happened if I did speak those words I was meant to speak? What would have happened if I did live out my story in that situation? And the truth is, I think Katie and I both would have been better. How often do we truly appreciate the power of our story? The power of the experiences, the stories, the words, the quotes that we do have? How often do we not question or doubt the impact that our story can have on the people around us every single day? Whether that's the person sitting next to you that needs a lending ear, that friend back at home, whoever, whether that's in an interview for a chapter office, our story is powerful. Our story matters. When I take myself back to these seats, I realize that the excuses, the comparisons that I made to the people on this stage were absolutely ridiculous. But I know now know that when we realize success isn't defined by some story or moment in our past, and when we realize that excuses and comparing our story to others is just a way to make us feel better about not living the life we were meant to live, then we give ourselves permission to live out the story of our life, and it is powerful. Even just this week, we have been surrounded by some incredible stories. Some stories that have been told from this stage, our friends, new mentors, whatever that may be, powerful stories. But these stories are not meant to be compared to, but rather to fuel us in the creation of our own story. It's time, my friends, that we realize that other stories are meant to fuel us in the creation of our own. It's time to realize that it doesn't take a near-death experience, an epic failure, or life disaster to get out and start encouraging, motivating, and inspiring the world around us every single day. It's time to realize that excuses and comparing ourselves is just a way to make us feel better about not living the life we were meant to live. It's time to realize that we don't need some crazy moment. We can act now. My friends, we have the only story that matters. We have the only story we need. We have a story that is powerful beyond belief. It's a story of tremendous potential. It's a story of changed lives. It's a story of a changed world. It's our story, and it matters.